Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
It's time for the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios located at Wildcat Golf Club. Here's Del Olalea.
When the world was a time of this and that, I was young, didn't know to hold it back. Now we're here in the world, something else. We can leave any day, call for help. We were guides, nobody was above me. The A on my chest like a Dolce. The A on my chest, put your fist up. The A on my chest like a chipmunk. Alvin, Theodore, breathe in, breathe out. Me and more.
So the Texans are 4-1, and you can take this however you want it, but I think it's good news. Jacoby Brissett isn't good, but there's a real shot, according to Adam Schefter, that the Texans will see Drake May coming up. You got a rookie quarterback making his first start. That feels like the road to 5-1, unless Jerod Mayo is a dummy and didn't know that he has rookie year Andrew Luck and just didn't play him. Am I saying that's out of the realm of possibility? No, but it's unlikely. It's unlikely that they have a star in game one waiting and they just didn't play him. But it looks like a change in quarterback is coming for the Patriots, so the Texans will get a chance to torture a rookie. They've done it once already this year, and the Patriots' offensive line isn't good, so they might be able to do it again.
Yeah, it might be a rookie quarterback behind an even worse offensive line than the one that Caleb was dealing with.
And less weapons.
And way less weapons.
Yes.
So, yeah, this is a week where we'll probably have to get creative with what we want to see from the Texans against the Patriots this week. It was, or this past week, it was, well, you know, cut down the penalties and, you know, they just play clean, like good clean ball, play a complete game. And that might not be enough against the Bills, but if you win, we're not really going to have many complaints. And I think that's where you and I are at with how the Texans got past this Sunday. But for next week, we might have to have some different benchmarks more than, hey, you better win this by like 10, all right?
Yeah, the Patriots defense is okay. They've been able
to. Lost Jabril Peppers.
Yes, well, we will get into that. He did not play on Sunday, and the reasons were mysterious until now. But that's a team whose defense has kept them in ball games. They were in it against Seattle, helped them win a game. So it won't be easy, but as Sean mentioned, Jabril Peppers will not be part of the equation, we think. Now, the NFL.
Yeah, I guess you never really know.
You never really know, but it feels like they won't see Jabril Peppers on Sunday because he is facing charges of strangulation, and you throw on some drug charges as well. I'm not sure if the story mentions the alleged victim, but he will face charges that include strangulation and drug possession, according to police in Massachusetts. The police announced the arrest today, and it came with they responded to a disturbance at a residential residence early Saturday, and someone said there was an altercation. So he'll be charged with assault and battery with a dangerous weapon, strangulation, and possession of a Class B substance believed to be cocaine. Okay. He shoved the woman to the ground, shoved her head into a wall, and put his hands around her neck to strangle her. So, yeah, very, very ugly for Jabril Peppers. That feels like no matter what the NFL decides, because normally they go, oh, we'll wait until the legal proceedings play out. Feels like at least the Patriots will be the ones to go, okay, you're not going to play here until that's figured out. So very ugly. But, yeah, no Jabril Peppers on Sunday for the Patriots against the Texans. Now, that's a week away as far as the game, but it's the game itself, I don't know if I want to grade it on a curve as far as, hey, if you got to win that game, cover, great teams cover, and win that game 30-13, blow this team out who you should. But you'd love to see some improvement offensively. Although, I'm not sure that's the game for it. I think the Patriots will be salty defensively no matter what. It'll just be a question of, can you execute? And can your defense get some pass rush? I think that's the thing we should be looking at.
Yes.
The pass rush for the defense against that bad Patriots offensive line, whether it be Brissett or Drake May, can they go get after the quarterback and take a leap? Sometimes you want to have a good day, and maybe it isn't speaking to what the season will be because the Patriots are so bad on the O-line, but they are bad, so go take advantage of it. You'd like to see Hunter and Anderson and anyone else who has an opportunity make some plays.
Yeah, the defense or the offense should come around just because the defense should be giving them so many chances to get the ball, so many drives starting with good field position, because this Patriots offense really shouldn't move the ball against the Texans this week, whether it's Brissett or May out there. It's just we talk about the weapons, we talk about the offensive line, and you throw in maybe a rookie quarterback on top of that. It's going to be a get right game. Now the Texans are 4-1, and so you don't really think of it as a get right game, but it should be a game where, again, all these complaints that we have in wins should look a little bit better.
Yeah, it's a road game, so you'd like to see how they perform on the road. The last time they went on the road did not go well. But very different opponent, but a defense who will try to make things difficult on you. They have some players. Christian Gonzalez had a pick. We'll see if he will be going up against Nico Collins. Nico Collins has a hamstring, and while they say they don't expect it to be serious, he was dealing with this last week in practice. He was able to play, and then it popped up again during the game after his long touchdown. So are we holding out Nico Collins for a couple weeks to just get rid of this thing so he doesn't have to worry about it through the rest of the year? And, of course, Titus Howard has a hamstring as well. People are like, particularly John, was like, hey, isn't he like a big dude? Do big dudes get hamstrings? I don't know if you've heard. Titus is an athlete.
Yeah.
He's got the drip of an athlete. He's got on the field and off. Titus is an athlete. Titus Howard can have hamstring problems. And he has an issue. That's why he didn't play. And that's why we saw Blake Fisher in the lineup. And there's some hits and misses for Blake Fisher. He wasn't a disaster. And that's all you can hope from a rookie. But I think he did allow the pressure on the strip sack fumble for CJ. I think that came on his side. But you're going to have those moments for him. And if he has to play again, I'm not too worried about it, although the Patriots may cause him some problems. Okay, when we get back, we'll talk some college football. It was a big weekend. We'll do the misery index tomorrow. And there are plenty of people and fan bases and programs and maybe an individual Alabama player who belongs on the list that we'll get to. So we'll save that for tomorrow. But the weekend that was, people thought it kind of was going to be a soft weekend as far as games. The games were like, excuse us, do you know what college football is about? Never, never underestimate what can happen. And that happened on Saturday. So we'll get to that when we come back.
You're listening to the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios located at Wildcat Golf Club, here's Del Olalea.
What have you learned will come tomorrow for John and Lance? That is normally every Monday at 7:45, but hey, we're out at Wildcat Golf Club, and they decided they want to do it tomorrow. What I learned over the weekend is that we need to get star quarterback some media training. Because if you missed it, Diego Pavia, after Vanderbilt beat Alabama, of course he gave glory to God, and then he said, Vandy, we're effing turnt on live television. Now, hours later, on the West Coast, after Miami had their comeback against Cal, 25 down, Cam Moore throws one of the more embarrassing picks I've ever seen. I can talk about my reaction to that.
Should disqualify him for the Heisman.
I can talk about my reaction to that a little bit later. He leads a comeback where they win the game 39-38, and he's getting ready for his post game with Stan Verrett on the field. His post game interview with Stan Verrett, and Verrett's like, "All right, Cam, what a great comeback! Something like that. Whatever they do, how does it feel?" And one of Cam Ward's teammates comes over to him, number two, Isaiah Horton. He goes, good S2. And he goes, yeah, my N-word. Oop. Oop. Cam, the headset and the mic are close to your mouth. Everyone can hear that.
It was like 1:30 in the morning. I think the FCC is asleep.
Yeah, I don't care about the ESPN's the license. I don't care that much about it. It's just,
it's just not representing the university.
No, none of that either. Yeah. I don't need an apology.
You need Michael Irvin to pull him aside and be like, son, this is not how the U does things.
He was too busy on all fours. if you missed that, Michael Irvin was on all fours on the sideline during the comeback. So, no, I don't need him to do that. I was like, oh, okay.
Wait, this is exactly how the U does things.
I just don't remember the quarterback dropping the N-word on live television before. I don't remember it happening. Thankfully, it was him and not their backup, Emory Williams. It would have been a different scenario.
Or back in the Miami heyday.
Yeah, was it Craig Erickson or Ken Dorsey or something? Yeah. So if we're going to have it happen, the right quarterback did do it. The right star Miami quarterback did do it, Gino Toretta. No, Bernie. Bernie Kosar. Please don't. So that happened. The two-star the two biggest stars as far as quarterbacks concerned for how they played on Saturday into Sunday morning. Maybe have a conversation about how we act on the field after the game after a big win. The Pavia family was going nuts. They were the only Vanderbilt fans there. I think if you watched the game, Alabama side of the field, the entire crowd was Bama fans. And on the Vanderbilt side, we didn't get a lot of shots of them, like the full crowd, only the Pavias, because there are a lot of them at the game. And this goes back to something that Nick Saban said a couple weeks ago. I think it was maybe, I don't know where he was. He was doing the Pat McAfee show during the week. I forgot where they were. Maybe for the OU-Tennessee game. They're in town for that, maybe the Friday before. And he goes, the only place it's not scary to play or hard to play on the road in the SEC is Vanderbilt. He even went on to say something that proved to be true. When we go there, we have more fans there. I don't know if there's a big Bama population in the state of, in the city of Nashville.
It's also just Nashville. It's an easy weekend trip for everywhere at the SEC.
Compared to a lot of the other locations, flying into Nashville is probably easier than flying in other places.
Easier than Starksville, yeah.
Yeah, definitely. So he mentioned it. He was right, but it did not matter. And they played his quote on the field after the game. They played it. And that's not the only time that happened. I don't know if they played the sound. They might have, but in College Station after the game was over, Brady Cook said during the week, it's louder in our practices than it is there. And either they played the quote or they had the quote up on the screen with a picture of him. It was after the second false start in a row.
No, I remember the screenshot because the screenshot, it was 38-7.
Yeah, I think it was after the second false start in a row, and they're like, oh, okay.
Yeah, and it was a live shot of Brady Cook, getting the play in or something.
Yeah, and then the
quote underneath.
The cryon had him saying that. So it was an interesting week in the SEC. We haven't even mentioned Arkansas holding on after they really controlled that game in the first half against Tennessee and let Tennessee stay in the game because they couldn't put points on the board. And eventually Green got hurt.
Vince Young.
I called him great value Vince Young.
He said he... He looks like.
He look, I didn't say he was Vince Young.
He looks like.
He's tall and angular.
He doesn't play like.
And he's 6'6", and he wears a number 10. Those are the comparisons. And he can move. He's athletic. Of course, he's not leading Arkansas to a national title or a Rose Bowl
win.
You don't
know. They're still alive in the SEC.
That's true. That with the 12-team playoff, they are still alive for that. It feels unlikely considering. Now you have to throw A&M in the mix. Connor Wegman was back, and while I don't particularly believe Connor Wegman is a guy who's going to duplicate those performances week after week, got to give him credit for what he did in his first game back from an injury. Apparently, people around the program thought he was going to play. They just need to see what he looked like in warm-ups. So it wasn't the biggest surprise. It was only a surprise to the general public, but they felt he was going
to
play.
And to Eli Drinkwitz. Because Eli Drinkwitz during the week.
We didn't get to the story. I don't know how we didn't, because this is a story right in line with how this show operates. Eli Drinkwitz banned the sister of Marcel Reed, who happens to be part of the Missouri staff, from practice because he thought she would divulge information to Reed and subsequently A&M. So she had to be banned from doing her job.
He also, in a press conference, they asked him how are they preparing for both quarterbacks? And he goes, oh, Marcel Reed is going to play.
Yeah.
We're not preparing whatsoever for Connor Wegman
clearly
to play. sure looked like a coach.
Yeah, I mean,
sure looked like.
I mean, if anyone needed to ask a question after the game, they can just revert back to what you said during the middle of the week. You probably shouldn't make that known, because Connor Wegman, there was thoughts he would be someone who would practice and be a game time decision. Making the assumption, I assumed he would play not because Connor Wegman wouldn't be healthy. I assumed he would play because I'm a stupid radio guy, and I thought Marcel Reed was a better option, and at least on Saturday he was not, from what we saw. But it's not my job to make sure I'm prepped for A&M on a Saturday in your biggest game of the year. That's Eli Drinkwitz's job. Now let's get to what Mike Elko said after the game.
Yes.
Beyond him telling everyone, hey, you've been disrespecting Connor Wegman for reasons.
Sorry, coach.
That were – no, he didn't talk about football stuff. He said you can get after him over the football stuff, question if he makes a throw or can't make a throw.
Will do, coach.
Yes. What he said was all the questions about his character and stuff that had nothing to do with football were out of line. And Mike Elko used an F-word in that presser. I know. People got shocked by that. He also said this. He said, if you don't know the story, here it is. Theo Weiss is a good receiver for Missouri.
Yes, formerly the second best receiver on Missouri.
Yes, formerly of Oklahoma at one point. So, Theo Weiss, the second best receiver at Missouri.
I think that's a key part of this, is that it wasn't Luther Burden who's going to be like a early first round.
Maybe they didn't think Luther needed the motivation. Maybe they thought Theo Weiss did. And I say they thought he needed motivation because there is a story, and you can see the picture online, of a Texas A&M corner putting a picture of himself and a Texas A&M blanket in the hotel room of Theo Weiss. Why blanket? Because his name Lee?
Yeah, William Lee.
William Lee, the corner, his nickname is the blanket because, well, he covers you like a blanket. And there's some, a little writing on it saying, welcome, blah, blah, blah. This isn't all the things. Blanket, William Lee's in the picture in a little write-up. And Mike Elko says, we didn't do that. You should ask Eli about that. Eli being Drinkwitz, the coach of Missouri. So where do we stand, Sean? This is obvious Eli Drinkwitz trying to motivate Theo Weiss.
Yes, because the where it all falls apart is how would Texas A&M know
which room
is Theo Weiss?
I don't know where they stayed.
I imagine there is one hotel room.
Yeah, that every so you
and that's not even a College Station thing. We see it by Gal Media where
there's a hotel room that a lot of college teams
if they play UH, it could be any
sport. You see, it doesn't matter really. They're all staying in that was a DoubleTree.
Yeah,
so they said the DoubleTree right near where we do the show normally from. So there is a on campus hotel. I'm not sure that's where the team stayed at. So maybe you would have access to the concierge or the front desk person. They could tell you who's staying where.
Flash an Aggie ring.
Yeah, something like that. But I don't think that's what happened.
No, I think it's way more likely that Eli Drinkwitz is trying to play five-dimensional chess and losing.
Yes. Maybe spend more time preparing for Connor Wegman.
Yes.
Instead of trying to motivate your wide receiver, your second-best wide receiver.
And banning
relatives of what turned out to be the backup quarterback.
Like everything about
the whole week was the whole week was a miscalculation.
Yes, it is. Is very much a. He seems like this week it was a moron who thinks he's the smartest man in the room.
Yes,
it was a guy who was worried about all these other things, playing mind games 10 different ways, and then it was like, oh wait. My team actually has to show up and play football.
He did all these things, looking at all the angles, and the one thing he forgot about was prepping for the starting quarterback. Oh, I got to prep for the starting quarterback? I forgot about that.
And we got to block Nick Scorton. I forgot about it. Whoa.
It's a credit
who
to him.
Seen that coming?
Credit to him for not having a team ready for all the football things that would matter on Saturday.
Yeah.
But he did have them ready for all the things that wouldn't matter in that game. So it was a entertaining day in the SEC. The one team who one of the teams, primary teams in the SEC at least, who wasn't involved was the Texas Longhorns. They had a bye, and it was good to have a bye. If you had a bye, you had a real shot of rising up the rankings. Because you look at what happened to Texas, they're back at number one. You look at what happened to all the teams who lost. We didn't even mention Michigan losing on the road at Washington. USC lost at Minnesota. It was a big day for top 11 teams losing, and if not for the second biggest comeback in program history, another top 11 team would have lost to Miami. So it was a big day all around in college football. The misery index, as Brian McDonald said, you know, producer Brian said, should be pretty easy. There's plenty of choices for the misery index tomorrow. A lot of fan bases can go on it.
That was only at like 6:30.
Yes.
So there's only two spots open or two obvious spots at that point.
Yeah.
We didn't think that there'd be so many additions.
And there was a narrow avoidance of another very late in the college football day, in effect into the next morning. So big weekend. We'll certainly get into it more tomorrow as we just get more and more games. It's a big weekend coming up. We got Oregon versus Ohio State in Ohio State's first actual test because they are up 7-0 against Iowa, and then they realize, oh, should we just throw the ball to Jeremiah Smith and Abuka and see how things play out? I don't know if it'll happen against Oregon. We never know. But the Will Howard thing, I won't say he's holding Ohio State back. I just don't think that guy is having Ohio State at their full potential. If we're talking about a quarterbacks who elevate, Will Howard is a bus rider right now.
It's a nice bus, though.
It's a very nice bus. It's a tour bus, even for like Metallica. That's the type of bus it is, and he might be a roadie, but it's a nice bus to be on from time to time. So we'll get into some of that tomorrow and throughout the week. Okay, we'll wrap up the segment with this, Sean. If you were interested in, you know, making the game tonight between the Chiefs and the Saints more interesting, what would you do?
Oh, well, Dell, you'd go to Prize Picks. You would download the app, use promo code MAPES, and you can make every moment matter. You can enjoy, I mean, October is one of the best months, probably the best month in sports, and Prize Picks is where you can go to get a little action on all of it. They have NFL for the Monday night football game. They have all the postseason baseball. Hey, listen, Astros fans, I know we're not used to not having some skin in the game when it comes to the postseason. Now you can on Prize Picks. You got Tariq Skubal, our boy, playing. Oh, sorry, Tarek Skubal, our boy, going tonight for the Tigers. Maybe you like more or less on his strikeout projection. Maybe you like Aaron Judge to go less on all of his projections like he does in every postseason. You can do that on Prize Picks. Go to the App Store, download Prize Picks, use promo code MAPES to get $50 instantly when you play $5. You don't even need to win to get that $50. You get it instantly when you play at least $5. Prize Picks, run your game.
The Del Ulalea Show is broadcasting live from the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios located at Wildcat Golf Club. Now back to Del Ulalea.
We're back. And we are at Wildcat Golf Club for the fifth annual For the Fish Golf Tournament benefiting CCA Texas. Go to ccatexas.org to check them out and donate to a worthy cause. See the people strolling in as the tournament will tee off at 12. And we're out here till 12. It's a half day for the station. The rest of the guys will be back in studio to talk Texans. And some injury news regarding the Texans. You know about Nico Collins leaving the field and the game early, right after a touchdown, due to a hamstring. He is day-to-day. Day-to-day, in football terms, what does that mean? If he makes out the practice, he's okay. It's usually a week-to-week thing. I don't know what day-to-day means as far as a hamstring. It could pop. Can it pop at any time? What does that mean?
Yeah. I take that as probably not going to practice at least until Thursday. And then even then, limited. And I think What we can guess with a hamstring injury is that you're probably going to be out the next week, unless it feels so bad that you had to leave the game and get ruled out at halftime. Chances are you're not going to be ready to go.
He didn't even get the questionable designation when we all know he's not coming back. Because Aaron Jones got that, and you could see him; he wasn't coming back in the game against the Jets. He got the questionable one, but Collins went back to the locker room almost immediately after scoring the touchdown, and you know he was done for, and you hope he's okay. And to be honest, it's the Patriots. He shouldn't have to play against the Patriots.
Yeah.
Let's see if a week is enough. Maybe just, hey, he doesn't practice, he doesn't play, and we'll see how he recovers. We know Titus Howard, I guess he will be a guy we find out more about later in the week as well. We'll see if Blake Fisher has to make another start. And, of course, Jimmy Ward, who was banged up a couple times yesterday. He has, what is it, a neck? That was the first one, I think. He tried to make a tackle, but the neck wasn't the one who knocked him. Wasn't the one that knocked him out of the game. He came back after that
because he went down on the first play, and then he came back and went down again later. And I forgot what the second one was.
Yes. So we'll see where Jimmy Ward is health wise. As he's been a guy who's had to deal with injuries. He just came back from a groin injury, and he was ruled out with one as well. That popped back up, and the other one was British Brooks. He had a knee injury. I don't know the extent of British Brooks' knee injury. So you got a special teams guy you depend on. Obviously, your starting safety, or one of your starting safeties, is Nico Collins, the leading receiver in the NFL in terms of yards, out yesterday. And we'll monitor their recovery, I guess, as we go forward. As I said, it is the Patriots. If none of them play, it should not matter that much, of course. Sean, it is the NFL. As they tell you,
those guys are pros too.
Yes, they get paid on the other side too. You never, never know.
Any given Sunday.
What else can we throw out there that NFL people say?
Oh, I don't know. In the National Football League, you cannot lose games and still win. Shout to Trent Dilfer,
who's having a tough time at UAB right now. It's rough. And the other thing about that is UAB passed on a guy on their own staff who's now doing big things at ULM. ULM got a big win over James Madison, a lifer at UAB. And they're like, yeah, you know what? We'd rather hire the guy with the name. And
remember the 2000 Ravens? They're awesome.
Yeah. Wait a minute. But so are we hiring Ray Lewis?
No.
Why would I hire him? Why would I hire Trent Dilfer? What did he do? I'd rather hire Brandon Stokley if you're talking about hiring guys on the offense. Jamal Lewis, what's he doing? You tried to hire a name to bring some acclaim to your program, and it's been a bit of a disaster at UAB. But Texans-wise, a couple of injuries. They'll work through them. And the British Brooks one is the only one that we don't know how bad it is. But I think Jimmy Ward simply re-aggravated something that he was dealing with before, and now it's something that might keep him out a little bit longer. So if we're sticking with the Texans here, I think the biggest thing I want to compliment that team on is their ability, particularly their defense, to get stops when they're needed most. We know they gave the big run to Tank Bigsby last week. Caden Bullock chases him down, and they keep the Jags out of the end zone. And of course, the Jags being the Jags, they always got to go for it. And Doug Peterson or Press Taylor, whoever you want to blame for that empty set quarterback draw that was relatively obvious. In fact, so obvious that Tiki Barber was calling it out before the play even happened. They got stopped there. And then yesterday, after some pressure and then a fumble by C.J. Stroud, they got another stop. A touchdown there. Now, there's a lot of game to play, but the way the game played out, a touchdown there may give the Bills a win. They keep them out of the end zone. So for some of the complaints about them getting after the passer, they have found ways in the last couple weeks to get stops. And right now, when I don't have any real conclusions about who they are as a team through five games, I'll take that as a big positive. That defense, they're aggressive. May be a team who needs to blitz more to get pressure, but they've been able to step up. And one of those guys that helps is Azeez Ashir. Did we know beforehand that he was dealing with an issue where, how many pounds did they say he lost? 10 pounds?
Oh, I didn't even
He was like, they say he lost 10 pounds and he was nauseous.
Wow.
Severe nausea that sent him to the hospital on a Saturday.
I just saw he's playing through illness once the game started. I didn't see all that. That's crazy.
Yeah, and he, he's been a guy who's steadily improved since the week one where the linebackers were an issue. They're still waiting on Christian Harris. Now, he would be eligible to come back, I think, after next week, I believe, if it's that short-term IR. I'm not sure.
What, Harris?
Yeah.
No, he was eligible to come back this week.
That's right. It just turned out
he
was not healthy. The injuries, you're right. The injury was a bigger deal than the short-term IR would allow as far as him coming back. So we're still waiting on him. But I think Tola Tola and Aziz Ashir have played really well the last several weeks. And Tola Tola's been a guy who pops. You see him on multiple plays per game coming down at a high rate of speed and making plays. So a linebacker, which I question particularly because Christian Harris was going to miss some time. Overall, the only issue I can point to defensively is, and it hasn't been a one to keep them from winning, obviously, is where's the pass rush going to come from? Is that going to be get more consistent? And you almost don't even feel that bad about it or worry about it because of the talent at the position.
Yeah.
And you're getting Danico Autry back here soon, too. So
yes.
I'm not worried about it. I'm just wondering where it is.
The back end is a little bit it's a little bit worrisome.
Yes,
they haven't really been
they've 100%
been 100% victimized,
but the plays haven't been made.
Yes,
yet.
But you know, you throw a double move in front of Kamari Lassiter or a double move in front of Bullock, they're gonna bite.
That's
they're,
true.
They're gonna bite, and you know, Lassiter missed a tackle on the Coleman touchdown, the Keon Coleman long touchdown. He was the in coverage. He missed that first tackle that really sprung him loose. So I think the rookies in the secondary for the Texans, I think they've mostly been fine. They've mostly been good. It's just that there is some big play potential there. It just hasn't really come to bite them yet.
Yeah, it is a thing where the lack of execution by the opponent has kind of maybe washed over some of the problems you just laid out. Like, what are we? I mentioned the defense stepping up, but what are we talking about if a couple or more Anthony Richardson deep balls were hit, or Trevor Lawrence didn't miss his, or if Josh Allen didn't miss his yesterday? Now, that would have been early in the game. You would have been able to recover from that, but, you know, these are just moments that the Texans have come out on the right side of them. And obviously, at some point, there should be a regression to the mean where those plays hit more than they miss. It just hasn't been the case, and you'll take that for what it is, and you'll take bad clock management by the opponent's coach. You'll take missed throws by the quarterback, and you get the 4-1, and then you try to figure out who you're going to be the rest of the way. We'll get into the highest rated Texans if we believe what PFF have to say. Some of you do, some of you don't. We'll give you that. And there's a guy we just mentioned in this segment on the list who has been someone who wasn't expected to play a lot, but all of a sudden because of injury is playing and playing pretty well. We got one more segment here to go before we wrap it up. Gallant and George will follow us back in the studio. Then obviously the Killer Bees. A lot of Texans talk, as you might imagine, as the team is 4-1. We got one more segment. We will be back.
You're listening to The Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios located at Wildcat Golf Club, here's Del Olalea.
We were going to get to some of the numbers regarding how your Texans played yesterday, but let's get to a first-time caller to this show. He's called into the station before, and it's appropriate considering where we are. Mr. Irrigation wants to talk Patriots. Yes, Sean, I know you gave me the look. That's his name, at least the name he gives us, Mr. Irrigation. What's up?
Yeah, so I swear I heard the referee say Jared Allen fumbled the basketball yesterday. Did you see that when he went out of bounds?
Yes.
First quarter?
Yes, I was watching, and I think we mentioned it earlier, because apparently that referee used to coach high school basketball and is now the AD of some school in Oklahoma. So we got that story from, who was on the game?
Iron Eagle had it immediately.
Like that. He had an explanation for why that referee decided to say basketball instead of football. Yeah, we got the backstory and all.
Well, there's another story that I think is kind of interesting. I picked up on it as the Patriots have a referee, something called the musket or something like that. And apparently the locker room is coming unglued. And he said basically if things didn't change, there was a meeting going to happen. And all of that information was removed yesterday. So he was a Patriots fighter. Have you guys heard anything about that?
I would try to answer you, but all I heard bits and pieces of Patriots and Musket and something
mutiny.
Fell apart. So I'm sorry. I didn't catch that, unfortunately, Mr. Irrigation.
Is it about the possible quarterback change? Is that what it was? It's my guess.
They didn't get specifically about it. Just said the locker room was on the verge of a mutiny.
Oh, a mutiny.
And backpedaled
okay.
it the day later.
Well, there was reporting today that they may be moving away from Jacoby Brissett. I'm not sure what Drake May has done in practice to get anyone excited about him. I don't know. I just don't know. That's not me being glib and being a hater of Drake May, which I kind of am. I just don't know what they've seen. But I can guess if you're a defender, and no matter what the quality of the opponent is, you keep holding offenses down, and you know your offense gives you no chance to win, you may just want to see something different. You know, there may not be very, very different from fans. At some point, even if the backup isn't very good, you just want to go, okay, enough. And Jacoby Brissett can be a solid guy as far as a teammate, but there is a ceiling, a low ceiling, and for what he can be, and I'm not sure the floor is that high either. So a change may be what we see on Sunday versus the Texans, and I think they probably weren't going to get up more than 17. What'd you say?
It works in their favor.
I would agree. I don't think the Patriots are scoring more than 17 points, no matter who the quarterback is. And thank you, Mr. Irrigation. We appreciate you calling in. Just we had some issues with the phone. We kind of got to what you're saying. So if not, certainly try to get in tomorrow. It could be what the. The Patriots are probably topping out at 17 points, maybe, what Jacoby Brissett, maybe.
Maybe, yeah.
If they got, like, a special teams play or maybe forced a turnover. But, they blocked a punt, got a pick in Dolphin territory, and still only got 10 points yesterday. So they are a disaster offensively, and maybe that's simply why the change may be made. Adam Schefter just piggybacking off of Mike Reese, a local guy in New England. And in the Boston area, is saying there's some issues there, and a change may be coming, and the Texans may get to see rookie quarterback Drake May in his first start. The only problem I have with it is we knew what we were getting with Jacoby Brissett.
That's what it is.
There may be something that they run offensively with Drake May that he likes to do that may get you a little squirrely early. Not that I think he's going to go off for like 24 points, but the go off for 24 points. That would be off for the Patriots.
That would be a season high.
Yeah, but you knew that Jacoby Brissett probably wouldn't turn the ball over, probably wouldn't make any big plays, and as long as you didn't screw up, you were going to win that game relatively easily. I don't know what the weather's going to be like, but if long as we were having a normal weather situation, the Texans were going to win that game kind of easily. Now, with Drake May, it may be a different game plan. You may have a chance of more turnovers. He might make more mistakes, but he also might take more chances because Jacoby Brissett doesn't do that. So if it does happen, it does add a little unpredictability to it. Still should be a win. But I was really looking forward to, and I say that sarcastically because no one looks forward to watching the Patriots play offense, but maybe in line for a shutout. Maybe you're in line to hold them under 10. Who knows? But now you just don't know.
Yeah, I think with the offensive line, because that's basically the reason that Drake May hasn't played up to this point, is that the Patriots are worried that putting Drake May behind the offensive line that they have is just going to ruin him forever, which I'm always a little skeptical of, like, ruining a guy forever because of first...
It's a little strong, yeah.
Yeah, because it's his first year, he didn't have an awesome offensive line. But I do think...
The greatest
lie
David Carr ever told.
Yeah,
like,
right.
They ruined me.
Yeah, I think that's where it comes from.
I think it does, yeah.
And I think that with May out there, you could see a little bit of what you saw against the Bears with Caleb Williams, where you can just show blitzes that this young quarterback has never seen before and really rattle him in a way that Jacoby Brissett, you're probably not going to rattle him with that, and it's probably a blitz he's seen before. It's just I'm not sure he's going to be able to make the play to beat you on it.
Yeah, now he's tough to sack. He's a big dude. Obviously, he's not as mobile as he once was, but Jacoby Brissett. But he's a guy who isn't going to go down with an arm tackle. But it was kind of going to be a predictable outcome. You don't make mistakes. You don't allow Ramondre Stevenson and Gibson to run the ball all over you. You're probably going to hold them to 10. You could have a game plan where you don't try to make mistakes. You score 20, you win that game easily. Now we'll see. Drake may throw you some. But he also might take more chances than you might expect, and who knows? Maybe he'll hit on double moves that the rest of the quarterbacks the Texans have faced won't. It would be something for the rookie to come in and go, you know what, Kamari Lassiter, I got you, and I'm going to use of all people like Polk or
Pop Douglas
to make plays. We'll see. I wouldn't suspect it, but I kind of would still rather have Jacoby Brissett.
It's just what you know versus yes. The uncertainty of, hey, maybe there's a couple big plays that May makes that Brissett wouldn't.
Just the exuberance of youth, they would say, Sean.
Yeah.
We are wrapping it up here at Wildcat Golf Club for the fifth annual for the Fish Golf Tournament presented by CCA Texas. And this is a conversation that I asked off the air, but we have, as you might imagine, at a golf tournament, we have cart girls, and I don't know where you recruit cart girls from. Sean thinks you just go to the local colleges, like you would find interns, or you slide into the Instagram and follow and say, hey, we got an opportunity for you. I don't know what they pay them a day to come out here and have a good time. Where are cart girls recruited from? They don't go get grabbed from the local. Sports bar like Twin Peaks or Hooters, are they?
There's some commitment flipping. There's a transfer portal.
What are the other ones? I always go to Twin Peaks.
Twin Peaks.
There's
Hooters.
A Brick House Tavern and Tap. Don't they have a certain?
I don't know.
I don't know.
I don't know. I don't go to those kind of Neither places, Dale.
You mean sports bars? If you want to call them that, no, I don't go to those, as you say, those types of places either. That's why I don't know where you grab cart girls from.
Normally go with Pluckers, Wingstop.
When I want food I want to watch sports with.
My waiter's wearing a polo shirt.
Yeah, food I want to eat and watch sports at the same time. You know the food I grab? Wingstop. Or another wing place. Yeah. I'm not really looking for the atmosphere. I just want to get my wings and go for the most part.
I'm more
part.
Of a Rick Ross guy, not a John Gruden guy. I don't know. I don't know.
Yeah, the lemon pepper. Understood. And that just wraps up the show. If you guys have an answer for where for cart girls come from, tweet us, call us tomorrow. I just would like to know.
Because I'm sure our listeners would also like to know. I'm sure our listeners would like to know.
I'm not asking you to stalk the cart girls like you might a Texas cheerleader. I'm just trying to figure out what the pool is. Who's diving into that pool?
What's the draft class?
Yeah,
look like?
Yeah, yeah. Is this a 2012 draft class as far as quarterbacks, or is it like a 2021 draft class? It all depends, I guess. As the car girls are walking out. Yes, I was talking about you, but I'm glad you didn't pay attention. All right, we are done here at Wildcat Golf Club. We'll be back tomorrow in studio for our regular show, and. Stay tuned for Gallant and George and the Killer Bees. More Texans talk will come. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
We did it!
Thank you, Austin.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Save big on everything for your next project when you shop at Menards. Get the comfort and support with a new mattress from Serta. Find the perfect mattress for a deep and restorative night's sleep. Take control of your sleep and save big money on Serta mattresses now at Menards. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals happening this week.
Save big money at Menards.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets, with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.